Cool. My name's Vaughn Knight. I work at Nokia in Australia in the developer experience team. So our job is to help developers achieve success building apps. And so developers may be businesses, they may be everyone in this room, they may be people that want to develop apps, it could be students, they could be experts. It's to help people be successful. They can be training, they can be helping merchandise their app in store, getting it featured. And sort of really helping them achieve success on the platform so they become advocates for the platform and stay advocates of the platform. Clicker. Cool. And also, if there's anything I don't cover here and you want to talk to me about it, that's my Twitter handle. It's the best way to get in contact with me, rather than it sort of moving down and getting buried in my work emails. So let's talk about mobile imaging. So mobile imaging has evolved a lot since it first turned up. So in 2003 was the first mobile phone with the camera attached. It was 0.3 megapixels. And over time, that's a graph of the megapixels in a camera. Eventually, we went to 3-megapixel cameras in phones. That's when we started actually getting photos that we could print rather than stamp-sized photos that we could print. And then we moved to 5-megapixel photos, which gave us a lot more fidelity. And now we're sort of talking 41-megapixel cameras in phones in the Lumia 1020. So to give you an idea, if that was 0.3 megapixels, the rest of the screen would be 41 megapixels. So it's a massive difference. And one of the main differences when you're looking at that is also how much image processing needs to happen and all that sort of stuff. But the other thing is it's not just about having more data. More data is not just the whole thing with 41 megapixels. It's what you can do with that data. So if we look at this photo, this is a photo that I took at the zoo. And if this photo was 0.3 megapixels, it'd look like this. It's not too bad, and you sort of think, well, 0.3 megapixels wasn't too terrible. But if it was 41 megapixels, it would look like this, and there's not much difference between those. You do notice the difference, but it's not drastically different. The thing is that the original photo that I took was actually this, because I don't like standing that close to lions, and it was through glass. And so that's a 41-megapixel photo. And the 41-megapixel photo means I get a photo like that when I zoom in. So I end up with a 5-megapixel or 9-megapixel photo when I zoom in, something that I can still use. If that was taken with a 0.3-megapixel photo, that original photo would look something like this. And that's not something you're going to print out. So when you start talking about having more pixels and having higher quality in cameras, and it's not just with the 41 megapixels, but as we've evolved, it actually changes the way we take photos. You never would have taken that photo with a 0.3-megapixel camera, because when you looked at it, you couldn't actually really show the important thing in the photo. And so this evolution in how people take photos or what people do with photos has changed. In 1994, for example, you would have been taking photos with a film camera, and you wouldn't have seen those photos for a week. Go 10 years forward to 2004, you're in a position where you're taking photos on your phone. 2009, 5-megapixel photos on your phone. You're now taking video on your phone. And also in 2009, your phone started being connected to the web. Facebook had really taken off, and all the photo sharing had really taken off. So that's where all of a sudden what you're taking photos of changes. So rather than taking photos of you by a tourist site, most of the photos were taken when people were on holidays. People were taking photos of their feet, and all these mundane things. But they're also sharing experience, sharing what they're doing now rather than what they did last week. They're saying, "This is now what I'm doing," to the point where you get the mundane. "I'm now having a coffee." No one ever would have gone and taken a film photo of their coffee and said, "3 weeks ago, before I got this developed, I had a coffee. I was in a cafe." So it's changed the way that we take photos, because the cameras are in our phones. So it's not just about having an SLR that can take great photos. They're in our phones. But it's also what people are now doing with them is changing. The other thing that's changing it is now that they're in phones, we're seeing a drastic change, because people are building software around the camera. Whereas before it was a photo going into software, but now we've got software controlling the camera. So again, because it's in the phone, people can build apps, people download apps, they use them, and it creates this evolution. And also, when you start getting cameras like the camera in the Lumia 1020, if you haven't seen it, go check it out upstairs or downstairs. You start to get photos that are truly photography. They're not just a shot of something. They're actually capturing all the elements of what they're trying to express. So the vastness of the city, you know, all the details in the birds' feathers and the seeds, you know, all the minute graffiti that's around, and capturing that at night, the lights are beautiful, but also the ambient light's beautiful. So there's things that you can now do with cameras and capture because the quality of the cameras are really reaching, you know, a professional grade level. So one of the things that I talk about as well is photography has changed from photography to imaging. You know, it's got this new name, even though it's still photography, because you're working with images. You're not working necessarily with you know, photos, traditional film. So I'm going to talk today about a few things. I'm going to talk about lenses, but that's a very quick part. If I was only going to show you lenses, well, you'd be out the door already. The thing that I'm going to show you is how to build a camera on the phone. I'm going to talk about lenses, which are about putting the camera at your fingertips when you're in the camera, getting access to your camera app. I'm going to talk about reopening images in your camera app and how you can do that. I'm going to touch on advanced cameras and how they work. I'm looking at an example that is freely available. And also talk about the Nokia Imaging SDK and filters and how that enables people to create filters on photos. And it's really made, you know, filters on images a commodity. You don't need to be an expert on image manipulation to figure out how to use a filter. Now you've got to figure out how you're going to apply them. And I'm going to talk about some other apps that we've seen as well. So let's build a camera. So, yep, I'm up there, great. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to just create a new project. So I've got an old project in this solution, but I'll just create a new one. And we'll start from scratch so we can see how easy it is. And I'll just call it NZ Camera. Done. And so it's a Windows Phone 8 project. You can do Windows Phone 7 camera apps, but you don't have access to all the different features. Windows Phone 8 is where all the features really start to become available. And what we're going to do here is in the XAML, I'm going to delete everything inside that default XAML. Down to there, I think. Yep, down to there. So I'm going to delete all of that so I just have an empty grid. And what I'm going to do is I'll pop across here and I'll just grab this so I can paste it in there. And what we've done there is we've just add a grid with inside the grid, and that grid, the background, which you'll see here, is a video brush. Ah, it's stretched. Hang on 1 second. So I will say, during this session, I'm also using a phone to camera another phone within an emulator. And I often will leave the slides up there, so feel free to yell out. I can change the resolution if you want. So let's go screen resolution 2. What should I change it to? 1440? Oh no, that's not good. Hang on, do you want me to just change the resolution? I'll do it. That's still not there. Okay, I'll keep going while you're doing that. So in this little bit of space that we've got, we'll squeeze in. So here what we've done is we've just put in a video brush. So we've got a grid, which is that we're going to call viewfinder, and then we put a video brush as the background. Now, what we're going to do is We're going to go into this XAML here. And we need to do a, into the back of the XAML here. And we need to do a few things. The first thing is we're going to give ourselves a reference to the camera. And the issue we'll get here is that the camera is not imported, so we'll just import that. And the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to add the media library as well. And the media library is, you know, that gives us access to things like the camera roll. The other thing you need to do, which is critical, which is something I forget to do all the time, is make sure you update the capabilities. So you want to use the camera, and you also want to have the capability to use photos. So if you've got that, if you've got those capabilities, then you're set. And otherwise, what you'll end up with is you'll get start getting permission errors when you're running your app. You won't have access to the camera. You won't have access to the photo library. So that's that there. So the other thing that we want to do is we want to create the camera on navigation. So just go on navigated to 2. Here we go. Can you read all of that? Yep, good. And we want to actually create the camera here. And you'll notice that there's two methods. One of them takes nothing, just uses the primary camera, which is going to be the back camera. And then the other one, you can choose between, in here you'll see front-facing and primary. Now, on the Lumia 520, for example, you don't have a front-facing camera. You've only got a primary camera. So for some of your apps, if you are defaulting the front-facing, you might want to check. Here we're going to use the primary, but if you're using the front-facing, you can actually go camera type. Photo camera dot is camera type supported, and you can check that way by passing in the camera type, but we don't need to do that for this. So what's the next thing I'm going to do? So the other thing that I want to do is here set the viewfinder video brush source equals the camera And then by doing that, when I run that up on the phone, what I should see... Oh, source name. Whoops. Wrong one. Set source. So the camera. And so what we do there is we'll make sure that the video brush is actually showing our camera on the on that video brush on the back of the grid. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to deploy this to the phone. And I'll let you that runs. And show you what I can see with another phone. Okay. So here you can see we've loaded, and it's all a little bit distorted because it's not really making sense. It's bit back the front, stuff like that, but we have what the camera sees turning up as a brush. So now what we're going to do is add a bit of code to make sure that everything's nicely rotated and nicely oriented. And the issue is there, there's a few issues, but the first issue is what you need to do is update the XAML right at the top and make sure that you have landscape as your orientation. And the other thing you want to do, I mean, you can have a portrait camera if you want, but then you have to deal with it stretching and changing all the time. And the supported orientations is we'll only support landscape. So now we won't get that stretch vertical and everything slightly rotated. Yep, cool. Is that working now? Beautiful. Ta-da. Okay. So, good. So what we're going to do now is we're going to add a bit of code. It's a bit of standard code that you can just reuse in all your apps, but it handles all the camera rotation. And all you need to do is pop it in your XAML. And what this code is doing, I'll just sort of talk through it. What this code is doing is checking which way the phone is rotated. So even though we only changed the landscape, what happens is when you turn the phone upside down, the XAML wants to rotate for the phone, which means that you end up with, when you take your photos upside down, they actually look upside down on the phone because it tries to flip them up the right way. So what you need to do is make sure that the XAML is always showing everything always as per what the camera sees. So we'll look at that in a second, but that's all that does. So what happens is it's just overriding the on orientation change, captures that event, figures out whether it's rotated landscape left or landscape right, and then transforms the orientation of the brush to the direction it needs to go. And you'll notice that if it's landscape left, it's zero, because that's actually where we started. If it's landscape right, it actually moves at 180 degrees, so it just flips it. So what I'll do now is I'll run that up on the device, which I need to unlock. Click back here, boot that up. And now you'll see... Yeah, so now you should be able to see that as I move around, everything's looking good. And if I turn the device around, everything's looking good. And when I turn it upside down, it still looks good. So actually what happens is as soon as it hits probably about there, it actually flips the entire wrap upside down. But we then start flipping the brush upside down exactly at the same time. So it's really smooth. You don't see any difference. So that's creating your viewfinder. That's a pretty straightforward, pretty basic thing to do. So the next thing we're going to do is take a photo. So what we want to do here is hook into the... What we want to do here is hook into the camera initialized. And what we want to do is we want to do a few things here. The reason why we wait for the camera to initialize is things like if you press the button and the camera's not initialized, then it's going to cause errors. You obviously probably want to check that the camera is in a good state before you start capturing photos, but for the demo we're not going to capture every edge case because there's quite a few of them that you might need to catch. But what you can do is you'll notice there's a lot of events. When I go up here, you've got capture completed, capture image available, capture started, capture thumbnail available. You may want to, for example, know when the capture started so that you can do a shutter animation on the screen. Or you may not care about that. Things like when the thumbnail is available so that you can start doing stuff with the thumbnail, maybe while you're waiting for the image to be processed, or so that you don't have to process the image yourself to turn it into a thumbnail. And then things like capture completed. The thing that we actually care about is the image available. We'll add that method there. We'll do nothing in there for the time being. The other things that we want to do now that the camera's initialized is set up the camera buttons. So on half press, we can add a method, and what we'll do in there is we might actually go camera.focus. It's that easy. Now, there's one thing to note with the camera focus is that you've also got the option to focus at point, and that's going to be a point within your image. So if you want people to tap on the image to focus it, you can create those sorts of interactions with focus at point. But we just want to do focus. The other thing that you want to do is also take a photo. And so we've taken a photo, and then we go camera.captureImage. So now we've written all the code to show a viewfinder. We can focus on a half press. The camera takes care of that for us. And then the other thing that we want to do is capture an image. So hopefully, with my multi-camera setup, if I get it all working, cool. So what we can do here, now that I've closed the app, just restart it. So now I've got the app open, so we can see what we're looking at here, and then if I press my finger on the right phone, we can capture this man walking through the back. And you notice the flash went off, and the reason the flash went off is because it's taking a photo and I haven't told it not to use the flash. But if I try and focus, I'll try and focus this camera and do a half press. That was a full press. Is that doing the focus? That's doing a full press. I think that's doing a half press. I know, let's crash my app. Just go back. And that's because the camera wasn't ready. But as you can see, we've gone through, we've captured an image, but the big problem is, if we go and look at the phone, it's not going to be in the camera roll. So it's not going to be in the camera roll if we go and look at it, because you actually haven't saved the image to disk. So one of the things that we can do is we can actually save the image to disk. So we have the library, and when the capture image available occurs, what we want to do is save it to the camera roll. So code for that's pretty short. Get rid of that. Don't need that. And you can give it a file name. We'll call it file for lack of a better name. File123. And in the library, what we'll do is you just pass that image stream. So I never can spell it right. So the event actually has a few things attached to it, but one of the things it has is an image stream. And so what we do is we pass that image stream to the library. We say, save that picture to the camera roll. It takes that stream, we give it a file name, and it goes and saves it, saves it away. You can have duplicate file names. It ends up handling it within the camera roll. But so what we can do now is if we run that up again, take a quick photo. Great, that's taken a photo. And now what we can do is the app just had an exception for some reason. And I don't know why. That's why. The media library doesn't exist. It's still null. So one of the things we can do is we'll do it in .navgo2 too. So we need to go library equals new media library, and that's what you need to do there. And now when we run it up, it should play nice. There we go. And so what you see there also when it goes from blank to when the camera appears, that's the initialization time. So during that time, someone could come along and press the button. So you want to make sure that you haven't got the buttons all hooked up at that point. Did that take a photo? Oh. I told you to shout out. There may be. I'm just going to lie and say there's prizes if you tell me. So here we take a photo. It should be taking a photo. And we've got an exception for some reason. And that might have been just because I was taking too many photos while we were taking photos. Anyway, I'll go into the camera roll. The demo gods aren't smiling on me today. Here we go. So I did take the photo. So this is the other thing to just be aware of. I'm sitting here snapping the button away while it's actually taking photos. So the camera's not in a state where it's... I'm doing it again. There we go. The camera's not in... So here's a photo now sitting in our camera roll. It's the photo that we just took. And just to prove it is in the camera roll, it's not me just holding the camera. That's a picture of someone's finger. So as you can see there, there's the photo that we took, and it's now sitting in the camera roll. And that's great if you want to make just an app that's a camera. But there's not much else that that app does that the camera doesn't. The camera does a lot more things. But you can add features such as features to handle... cut back. You can add features such as features to handle the flash. Do they want to turn the flash on and off? But all you're doing is replicating the camera. But then you might want to do something like just overlay something on top of the camera to help people align things. And then that's something the camera doesn't do. So in that point in time, you're actually creating a camera that's useful for people, but you're actually not doing any image processing, but you don't have to. Cameras can be all different types of things. So we just recall what we went through. Make sure you add the capabilities. Make sure that you've got the requirements as well. You need to create the viewfinder, very simple, with the video brush. There's a lot of events that you can listen to. One of the things is that when capture started event actually happens, during capture started, you can disable the buttons, and then when capture is completed, enable the buttons, which is, you know, you wouldn't end up with the exception like I just had. Set the viewfinder brush to the camera. Obviously, the buttons, super easy. The way that I learned this is I just went, I wonder if there's a camera buttons class. Oh, there is. Oh, problem, done. Focus, capture. So, and this is the other thing. If you're focusing while it's trying to focus, that's why you get the other exception that we had. So you can do, you know, on focus start and focus complete. And when you actually get the image, you may want to give it your own file name. The other reason why you might create your own file name is if you store it to the isolated storage. And the reason you will store it to the isolated storage is that you might save the unedited image, but then you might do some filtering, some editing, and save that to the camera roll. And then when users come back and they want to use it later, they can. So let's talk about lenses. Now, lenses is, you know, it gives you the ability to, from the camera, launch your app. So there are many ways to launch apps on Windows Phone. But being able to just tap that bottom right, and there's my lenses. There's the lenses. Ah, damn it. Too many screens. So from the camera, I can tap there, and there's my lenses. So that's the options. And then I can tap one of them. I can go from the pro camera back into the non-camera. I can go to the smart camera, do a cinemagraph, hit on cinemagraph, and the cinemagraph app loads, and it loads within the viewfinder. So you can imagine for some applications, they might not load into the viewfinder when you load the app, but from the camera, you definitely want them to load directly into the viewfinder. So let's look at how to build a lens. I've got everything right up there. So it's pretty straightforward. So what you need to do is you need to go into your manifest and you need to view the code. And the reason you need to view the code is because the UI in the SDK doesn't allow you to update this, but you do it here. And after tokens, you do extensions. And within here, I'm going to paste something that you will never remember and never need to remember. You just need to know that it needs to be done, and you can look it up online. And you need to put this GUID in there. And so what this does is it says that your application is a camera capture app. You want it to be a lens. And then from there, once you've done that, that's it. It's that simple. So I'll install that app onto the phone first, which it is. Good. Stop that. Go here. Go back into the ProCam. And what we'll do here is I'll go to this camera. There we go. And from here, with my extra arm, I'll tap there. And what we'll see, if I can focus it, is our NZ camera there. If I hit that, it'll launch the camera, and it launches our camera app. So it's that easy. But there are a few things you need to think about. What happens if your app doesn't start? Because that just launches the app. It doesn't do anything special. And so what happens is when it launches your app, it passes in the parameter on the URI, and you can check that URI and then hand off to whatever experience you want. So if your app launches into, for example, if your app launches into, these are all the latest photos from your friends. Think of Facebook, right? Facebook doesn't launch into the camera, but it'd be like to be able to take photos within Facebook. So you could have a Facebook lens, launch that lens, take a photo, and then post it to Facebook. But when you launch the Facebook app, you want to go to your friends overview. So that's how easy lenses are, and that's why I said if we just did a thing just on how to create a lens, it would be very, very quick. So let's talk about a few other things. How are we for time? Going good. So the reason why lenses were needed on Windows Phone, it's very natural to have all these different ways to launch your applications. You can launch through NFC, QR codes, apps can launch other apps. You can share files to an app. You can edit files in an app. You can launch apps through file extensions. You've got your live tiles, you've got your secondary tiles, you've got your app launch list. No matter where you are on the phone, you have access to the things you need. I'm looking at a person, I want to call them, I want to text them, I want to email them, I want to talk to them on Facebook. You know, these things were, the actions were where you were. And that's why lenses were needed, because I want to take a photo with this specific lens, but I don't want to have to exit the camera and then go and open the camera. And so the experience is simply be in the camera, launch the lenses, pick the lens, save the photo. It's really simple. It creates a sort of seamless from the camera experience. So we've gone through that. So building a lens, obviously you need to update your manifest. Very straightforward. Search for camera lens on MSDN. It's got this tag there. That's what I do every time I need to use it, or I have the snippets which I use. Then if you do need to map the URI, you can use a URI mapper. We're going to look at one of those later, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. But if the URI contains viewfinder launch as a parameter, you then hand off to whatever page you want. Here, they actually hand off back to the default page. You need to register that in the app. We'll talk about that later anyway. So you need to decide what lens you are. If you want to build a lens, what type of camera app you are. Are you a pre-photo assistance lens? So you horizontal alignment, camera settings, filter previews, or maybe even doing panoramas where you have those overlays. Maybe you're post-photo processing, so you're doing filters after they've taken the photo. You might be doing some image analysis or just sharing of photos. And so the reason why these are important is because depending on what you want to do, depends on how you want to use the lens and how deep you want to go. Do you want to work with photo streams from the camera, which we're going to look at the end, or do you want to just take a photo that maybe is just in the picture library? And in that case, you don't need to be a camera as well. So the next thing is rich media edit. So when you're taking photos with the camera, ProCam is a really good example. You take a photo and it gets, do you want to reopen this photo in an application? So you want your users to be able to reopen your photo in your application. As I said before, if you're doing filtering on the image, you may want to keep the original image but save the filtered image to the camera roll. So an example here is, you'll notice that link at the bottom of the image, open in the photo app, or when you click on the dots, it'll turn up and say open in your photo app. So we're going to add in rich media edit. So we'll come back across. Everyone can see that. Fantastic. So rich media edit, and the reason why I go from lenses to rich media edit, is very similar in that you need to add it through an extension. So again, another piece of XML that goes in the manifest. It's very straightforward. It's all available online. You don't need to remember it, but it's the same piece of code no matter who you are, no matter what your app is, if you want to do rich media edit. Now what that will do, we'll do the same as lenses. When I see an image that's been taken in an app, I click on the link and it'll launch my app. It's very similar. But this time what we're going to do is we're going to add a URI mapper, and we'll add a page to show the image so that when we reopen the image, we're showing it not in the viewfinder, we're not launching the viewfinder, we actually want to see the image that was taken. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to add class, and that class is just going to be called the URI mapper. And I've got some code over here, and it's probably got a totally different name. It's called Lens URI mapper, but that's okay. And I'll go here. And so here what the URI mapper is doing, if I go import that, what it's doing is it's looking for a URI, and I'll show you the URIs in a second, but it's using a URI that has this text on the end of it, and it's also got a token, which is a token relative to the file that you're allowed to open. It's passing you that token to allow you to open it. And so what you're doing here is it'll launch at main page, and what you want to do is you want to redirect it to your rich media page. So here that's what the code's doing. It's just taking the URI, where rich media edits there and tokens there, just to make sure. And what it's doing is instead of going to main page with all those parameters, it wants to send it to rich media page with all those parameters. So it's pretty straightforward. The next thing you want to do, though, is you want to go to your app here, and where it's being initialized, which is maybe at the top. There it is. Just after there, you just can go root frame dot URI mapper equals new, what do we call it? It's called lens URI mapper. Lens URI mapper. And you only need one URI mapper, you don't need multiple. So if you're doing lenses, you could reuse the same URI mapper as the one that you're using for rich media edit. And I find it ironic that I'm calling the rich media edit one lenses. So once you've got that, you're set to go. So the rich media URI mapper will actually start the redirect, but the thing is we don't have this page. So then what we want to do is we want to go and create that page. So I'll go in here and go add new item. I want to create a page. We can just do a portrait page. And we want to give it the exact same name, which is rich media page, rich media page.xaml. We'll add that, and here's our rich media page. And then on that page, we'll just put an image, give it a name of image one. And what that'll do is that'll put an image inside the grid on the page. But at the moment, there's nothing to put there. So what the URI mapper will do is it'll send us to this page, but this page now needs to be able to read in the URI. And so what we're going to do is I assume I have. No, I don't have it in there. That's okay. We can just go and write it. So, right. Public override void on navigated to. And we'll go in there. And what we want to do here, we'll have, we've got the URI here, and then what we can do is get the query, and what we want to grab from the query, so if you remember across in the URI mapper, we're checking whether token's there, what we want to do is you want to get the token. Hang on, what's going on there? What have I done wrong? My brain's not working. And that's why I kept this one here. Because... or maybe not that one. Anyone on the floor that's... .query... Oh, that's why it's wrong. One second, I'm going to add something back in. Just because my brain... let me just go see... Projects... go in here. Apologies. I'll just add this back in. This is the one that I had previously. From memory, or possibly not. My brain has just decided that I can't remember how to do that. A dot. No. E dot URI dot. I just want to grab the token from it, and my brain has just stopped. That just gives me a plain string. I want to just grab the token out of the string, and I've been doing it all day. All week. Hang on, one second. It's going to be in one of these apps that I was mucking around with. Um,
Yeah, this is the one. It'll be in here. And it'll be in this file here. And it's not a lot of code. It's just that you need to remember it. So I'll just grab this from here. And you never saw any of that. And we'll go and whack it in here. So what we're doing here, query strings, there you go. And then I'll grab, there we go. So what you need to do is grab that token. So in Windows Phone 8, we introduced the ability to launch files and share files. But the way that it happens between the applications is you don't just get access to the file, you get an access token. And the access token gets passed across. You grab the access token, and then you say, hey, I want to get the picture from that token. And what happens with those files is those files actually end up getting put in a temporary place, and that token then gets that file. So the original file, if it was to get updated between when it was sent and retrieved, it actually, you wouldn't get that original file. You get this copy of that file. Now, what's important is those files don't stay there forever. So sometimes, for example, some applications might send a file across, but for whatever reason, things pause, or if you're debugging your application, and you're waiting and you're waiting and waiting for ages, and then you go to the other side because you resume your application, you'll find that the file's just disappeared. So what I was trying to do is just get the token out of the query string, which was exactly what I needed to do when you were talking about it. But then all you do is, once you get that token, all you need to do is say library. So we're talking about the media library. Library get picture from token. So we're just saying, give me the picture from the token, and I'll have access to a picture. Then what you need to do, if you've got that image that from the library, you need to get it as an image, as a bitmap image, and then you can actually put it on screen. So you'll notice here that we go and grab it out of the library, and then the next thing we do is we go and get the bitmap image. So we've got the image that's a file system image, but we want to make it a bitmap image that we can use on the screen, and then we set it as the source of that image that we put in the XAML before. Now, all things going to plan, I'm just going to deploy that.
Quick question.
Yep.
You're saying get picture from token. Does that imply you can get other things other than picture?
Yeah, you can. So you can do file sharing between applications. So I can share a file with something that's registered to consume that file, and therefore you can share other things as well. But that's different to imaging, which the media library gives you a method to go and get a picture, and it gives you back a picture. Yeah. No. So you're actually just getting the picture from the library, which is, I think it's to clarify for people that it's not to get any sort of file. It's a picture that the media library knows is a picture that would turn up in the camera roll, for example. Okay. So what we're going to do here, we can do some camera inception while I'm doing that. No, I'm trying to go to the camera roll. And when I go to the camera roll and I open that image, you'll now see down the bottom, it says captured by NZ camera. Now, the thing is, we never were registered to do that before. But what it does is it actually remembers and knows that if you add that functionality to your app, and then starts turning up, which is fantastic because people might release their app and go, oh, I want to drive people back into my application. Because what this does is drives people to use your applications more. Then when I click on it, voila. So that's now opened on that page that we had with the image in the middle. It's not in the viewfinder, which it was doing before. It's opened on that page. And from there, you can do whatever you want. Right now, it just opens on the page and you can see the photo in a worse experience than the page before, which about the same. But you may add a heap of functionality, and I wonder if... No, it's only a portrait page, so it won't rotate. But you can then start doing things like, okay, here's the original image, and then you can start changing the filters and start adding all the different capabilities that you want to add. How are we going for time? Pretty good. So just to recap a lot of that, you want to add the extension. As I said, look it up. It's everywhere. It's on the MSDN.
You want to then make sure that you know, you can have multiple in the URI mapper. You'll see here we've got viewfinder launch, so that's if it's a lens. But actually, no, if it's a rich media edit with a token, I want to redirect it to a rich media page. You can call the page whatever you want, but you redirect it to the thing that handles that. Get the image. This would have been handy earlier. So I'll go back to it, actually. You know, you get the token from the query string. It's just a big GUID. You don't really need to know what it is. And then when you hand that to the library to go and give you that picture, it knows how to handle it. So you don't really need to know anything about how the tokens get generated. So advanced cameras. So Windows Phone 8 has many camera capture classes. There's actually multiple ways. The photo camera is probably the easiest and the most flexible to give you some control over the camera. There's the photo camera, and there's also the photo capture device. Now, the photo capture device is really useful if you want to start capturing streams of images and doing pre-processing and adding filters before you use the image. So the other thing about the photo camera is really easy to use, but you don't get access to the preview buffer, so you only get access to the photos that are taken. It's very easy to implement. We've seen I've created a camera, a lens with focus, and we can reopen with Rich Media Edit. And Rich Media Edit and lenses aren't limited to photo camera. The camera bit, though, is just so basic. It's really easy. It supports Windows Phone 7.1 and Windows Phone 8. But if you want to use the camera capture device, it's really for advanced camera applications. You do get access to the preview buffer, so you can do filter previews before the photo is taken. It's harder to implement. You are working with streams. And I'm going to show you, walk you through one of the examples, and you'll sort of understand that it's probably not the best thing to demo in an hour. But it only supports Windows Phone 8. Because of the advanced capabilities, it only supports Windows Phone 8. And this is how you create... The things that you get access to is when you create the device, you've actually got access to things like you can choose where the sensor location is, but you can also choose the resolution. So you can query the device and say, what resolutions do you support to capture photos in? Well, I want to take photos in that resolution. What resolutions do you send the preview buffer through in? I want the preview buffer to come in a lower resolution. So you can do some pretty impressive stuff, and you've got a lot of control, and you could actually change it within your application. People could choose to take photos at higher or lower resolution. They could choose to have previews at a higher or lower resolution. So I'm going to talk about the Innocuv Image SDK because the demo I'm going to go through has got both in there. Now, the Nokia Image SDK came out a few months ago from Nokia. It's got the ability to do advanced filters. It's got the ability to do some image manipulation that otherwise you probably wouldn't be able to do. You can go and write it yourself, but it will take a lot of time. The reason being is when you have 41 megapixel photos and you've got 41 megapixels and you multiply that by 4 bytes per pixel, you end up with about 160 megabyte image in memory. Because that's not a compressed image. When it's in memory, you've got the full size of the image. And so you don't want to be throwing around 160 megs of image. What you want to be doing is just accessing the bits of the image that are important to you. So what I'll do is I'll cut back and go across to this project. So this project's the comes from the real-time filter demo. It's available on developer.nokia.com as well as the Nokia Imaging SDK, which is also available there. It's all free, but I'm going to step through how the camera works, how the demo works. So I'll run this, actually, I'll deploy it first to show it. But with this application, it's using the photo camera device. And because it's using the photo camera device, you can see here we look at the capture resolutions and it picks the right one with the right aspect ratio for what it's trying to achieve. And we want to make sure that we use the back camera. So whereas with the other camera it was primary and front facing, it's now back and front. Then you can do things like you can encode the image with the orientation, so that you know that the image is getting encoded the right way. So one of the things I didn't demo there, with that demo, if I take a photo upside down, that photo ends up being an upside down photo, as you would expect with a normal camera. But with the phones, because people are taking photos all different ways, if you actually use the normal camera and take a photo upside down, it actually turns it around the right way when it's in your camera roll. And so you can actually do things like
have this, you can encode it with the orientation of the phone, or you can choose not to encode it with the orientation of the phone. So the phone says, no, I'm standing up the right way, versus the camera and the sensors saying, no, I'm upside down. So there's different things that you need to look at there. Or the preview resolution. So as you can see, to set up the camera has a lot more going on. And what this application does is it sets up something to pre-process the streams. And it pre-processes the streams with filters, and those filters are part of the Nokia Imaging SDK. So if I close this, I'm not going to go through the whole chain of all the events that, bring this around, but what happens here is that it gets passed the buffer, the image buffer, and it works with image buffers. You can't just work with file streams. So if you've got a file stream, you need to make sure it's a buffered file stream or a buffered stream. And the reason is that the Nokia Imaging SDK will only access certain bytes at a time. It can decode part of the image, which means that it doesn't have to use 160 megs before it does anything. It can use 10 megs and just pull in bits of the image and apply the filter as it's accessing all the different bits. And so what you're looking at here is we create an output image that we're going to create the filter in. But the way that the filters work is you create this editing session, and you can do many things in the editing session. You can do resizing and cropping, but you can add filters. So let me just check that that deployed. Cool. And I'll just launch it quickly. Open that. And so here you can see it's actually added a, I don't know how well you can see it, but it's added like a vignette around the edges. So if I pull that down, you can see there's a vignette around the edges. That's not my finger over the lens. If we click here, it's doing like a cartoony lens. If I click here, it's now doing another vignette. Click again. So you've got a black and white lens. Click again, you've got some other sort of weird lens, grayscale, edge detection. So as you can see, it's going through those lenses. And so one of the things to think about is, well, how hard is it to do these? But the thing you can do with them is you can combine them. So here it's just going, all those lenses were different cases in this switch statement. So one of the things you can do is you can go add filter, filter factory dot create grayscale filter, done. And so one of those LOMOs will now be grayscale. It's just going to apply it. But you also need to be very careful. So the magic pen, which was the edge detection, I might add a filter here dot create blur filter. And this takes a parameter of a blur level and we'll make it 4. And the way to learn what they are is just to play around with them. So if I deploy that again now, cool, and I'll just run it up. Thank you. You, sir, win a prize. I'll figure out what that is. So now that default one that we launched is black and white. And you can see it performs pretty well. But if we go to the next one, we're doing a blur. And see how that's really jarry? That's not... Let me look up there and make sure it's right. Yeah. That's actually just because we're doing so much blurring, the quality's low. Now, if you design an application that gives you preview filters, that's great. Like, it's fantastic. If you're looking at something like this one, you know, that's all of a sudden I know exactly what my photo is going to look like, which is wonderful. But the problem with this is you need to give users the ability to just turn it off. And the reason being is because when I see something, and not probably people won't take photos of their kids that are completely blurred out, but if someone wants to go around and take a photo of their kids shooting a goal or playing a game or having a bit of fun, the moment's gone before they can take the photo. They don't know what it looks like because it's not there anymore. If their kids are running around, they see the photo from five seconds ago. So what you want to make sure you do is have filters that just make sense in preview. Because a lot of people and a lot of apps that have come out and, you know, people are starting to do these amazing filter stuff and they're like, oh, now we've got enough power to preview. but really, this isn't a good user experience. But somebody might want it because they might want to take a still shot of three monitors on a desk in front of a group of people. That might be what they want to do. Now, that's available on developer.nokia.com. Not only that, there are other demos there, but I'm going to talk through just a few other things to think about. So, further considerations. There's an app that's just been released, and this stuff's, because the SDK was released not that long ago, this stuff's moving really quickly. It's called the Vilevi Filter Maker. It's an app for Windows Phone. It's available on the store. You download it. You play around with filters until you find a filter that you like, and then it will email you the code to go and make that filter. So all those combinations that I was going through there, you don't want to go through code and then see it on the screen and tweak and then see it. It's too long between. What you want to do is play around with all the different settings and go, yeah, I really like that filter. It works well in real time. Yep, I want to make that in my app. And then you can actually, it'll email you the code. It just launches the email client, sends you the code in the email. So it's a really good app. You can play around with it. Got to remember, check camera support, check flash support. 520 doesn't have flash, doesn't have front-facing camera. It's an amazing phone, but it's a very affordable phone, and that's because it doesn't have front-facing camera or flash. The other thing is if you just want images, don't be afraid to use the camera capture task. Now, the camera capture task, if you just take a photo, saves it to your camera roll. And so the camera capture task is a way of saying, I want to add a photo, and that will launch the camera. And you don't have to worry about anything to do with taking an actual photo. You can just work with the image. So you could go and build, a filter app with lots of filters that go on images that doesn't even have a camera implemented. And that's going to be your key offering in your app. So maybe that's what you go and do first. Use the camera capture task. And then when you think, I want to create a preview and a real-time experience, go and start using the photo camera and then evolve it into the photo capture device. Don't need to worry about too much about that. Other sessions. One of the sessions I saw in Australia was Lewis's session on devices. If you haven't seen it, it's really good. He's got a robotic arm and he dances. It's awesome. I'm just committing to that, Lewis. It's a really good session. He's got all these different bits and pieces. He's actually got more robots than he has time to show. The other session I'm doing on Friday, I'm doing a game development one. For those of you, I also write games. I'm talking about that on Friday, so that should be a bit of fun. I'm going to talk about how to get your code in Unity all the way down to the core of Azure. Cool. So thank you very much, anyone. Is there any questions? Yep. You can use it for augmented reality. You can overlay those grids that I've got the video brush on. You can overlay anything on top of that. So if you've got data and compass data and GPS data, you can start moving anything around on top. And that's the thing where you use the compass and the accelerometer. You can do the level, and you can sort of hold it up so you make sure your horizon's flat, which is actually really useful for doing panoramas. So you don't get that curved panorama, you get that flat panorama. But you can do whatever you want over the top of the grid. It's just that the background of your application is now a viewfinder, so you can do whatever you want. Any other questions? Oh, I'll talk about that later. I've never had that question in one of Venus states, but that's okay. I'm going to hide them. The question was, for the record, where did I get my shoes from? And I bought them online. Okay. Thanks very much, guys. I'll be around. Feel free to ping me or Vaughn Knight on Twitter. Thank you.